Bible podcast. We hope you'll enjoy this message by Pastor Joey Bonifacio.
Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, and I had mentioned to you about the reality that we are living in evil days ahead. I made mention to you about the number of deaths in COVID and the brewing war in Europe, obviously, and there is this tension in Asia between Taiwan, China, and the United States. And I mentioned to you following week about the winds of war, the reality of spiritual warfare, and the word winds, which refers to the spirit both in the Hebrew and the Greek, thus the spiritual warfare. Today, we continue in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 14, where it says, "Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist and the breastplate of righteousness in place." Last week, I talked to you extensively about the belt of truth. Today, I want to address this idea of the breastplate of righteousness. Throughout the centuries, whether they were Greek warriors or even samurai warriors, breastplates were necessary. The reason being is when you're going out for warfare, that is one of the most vulnerable places in your body. Modern-day warriors even use bulletproof vests. But for most of what we're talking about was really because Paul was referring to the Romans. And the Romans wore these breastplates because, as you can see, that is the largest area that can be targeted whether from a distance or up close. The most vulnerable part of our body is also where some of our key organs are: our gut, our liver, our kidneys, our lungs, and most of all, our heart. As such, this is the most largest, easiest to target, and when compromised, can make us no longer be able to function. Similarly, when we're not living right, we become vulnerable. I've entitled this message, "Invulnerable," in order to help us understand the righteousness of God. The fact of the matter is, our hearts, our lives, and truth sets us free to be able to live right, but righteousness is a different thing altogether. It doesn't reside in our heads, but rather resides in our hearts. And the reality is there are arrows, spiritual arrows, schemes, and powerful forces designed to get us. It doesn't take 10, it takes one or two to take us out and do a lot of damage. Just a few, in some cases, one is enough. And hence, the reality of the need to wear the breastplate of righteousness. What exactly is righteousness anyway? Well, righteousness simply means the right way, because there is a wrong way and there is a right way. Whether that be spiritual, whether that be our relationships, whether that be our physical bodies or our finances, there is a right way and there is a wrong way. And like the truth that we talked about last week, Paul speaks about righteousness earlier in his letter to the Ephesians. Ephesians 4 verse 24 says, "Put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness." Put on the new self, the breastplate, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. It's a very simple point here, is that you can never really truly understand righteousness, not only as a concept, but as a truth, until you first understand that God alone is righteous and holy. For the most part, you, me, and everybody else is unrighteous, if not altogether just self-righteous. For instance, in Romans chapter 3, verse 9, it says, "What shall we conclude then? Do we have any advantage?" This is Paul speaking about the Jews and the Gentiles. "Not at all, for we have already made the charge that Jews and Gentiles alike are all under the power of sin." It doesn't matter what your religious pedigree is, your background, what whoever we are, the fact of the matter is we're all alike and under the power of sin. Further, he says in verse 10, "As it is written, there is no one righteous, not even one. Only God is truly righteous." Hence, Paul makes the distinction between true righteousness and so-called self-righteousness. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9, he continues to say, "Or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God?" Here he speaks about unrighteousness, and those that live in such will not inherit the kingdom of God. He further says, "Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God." In short, there is a right way to live and an unrighteous way to live. Now further, it's very easy to conclude, "Well, I'm not one of those." Well, the Bible tells us in Isaiah chapter 64 that there is such a thing as self-righteousness. How then can we be saved? All of us become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous acts, our best of the best of the best of our righteous acts, are actually filthy rags in the sight of God. For the most part, we are really not truly righteous, we are only self-righteous. In other words, righteous in our own eyes in comparison to other people. The first point is God alone is righteous and holy. And if we're to understand righteousness in our own lives, we need to make this first conclusion. God alone is righteous and He alone is holy. God and His righteousness are inseparable. In short, God cannot be God without His righteousness. They are inseparable. Isaiah chapter 59, verse 14 tells us, "So justice is driven back, and righteousness stands at a distance. Truth," notice, "truth, righteousness, and has stumbled in the streets, honesty cannot enter. Truth is nowhere to be found, and whoever shuns evil becomes prey. The Lord looked and was displeased that there was no justice or righteousness at all." By the way, later you will see these two words are synonymous as well, or inseparable. "He saw that there was no one, and he was appalled that there was no one to intervene. So his own arm achieved salvation for him, and his own righteousness sustained him." You cannot separate God from his righteousness. In fact, if you remove righteousness, then he is not God. God is righteousness personified. His righteousness cannot all be separated from his justice. The very nature of his righteousness is at some point he has to judge the self-righteous and the unrighteous. Psalm 89 verse 14 says this, "Righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Love and faithfulness go before you." Notice where love and faithfulness is often the thing we talked about or talk about or describe God as true. And while that is true, the truth is righteousness and justice precedes love and faithfulness. Before you can really fully enjoy the love and faithfulness of God, you need to first understand the righteousness and justice of God. The more you understand that God is righteous and He will be just and make the right judgment, and yet He extends His love and faithfulness to you, then you fully understand His love. God alone is righteous and holy, and God and His righteousness are inseparable. God's righteousness precedes everything. Well, you might be asking, why is righteousness so important to God? Well, it's one thing to practice boxing moves in a gym. When you go into a real ring, you can get knocked out because it's no longer a practice. In real life, you better not have the right moves, but have righteousness, the right things in your life to make sure you get knocked out. Now, it's one thing to practice in a gym, get knocked out in a ring. It's a totally different thing to live a life against spiritual warfare. Now you're not getting knocked out in the ring. Now you have arrows, if not high-speed bullets, that are waiting to kill you. This is why you need a breastplate of righteousness. God alone is righteous and holy. God and His righteousness are inseparable. God's righteousness precedes everything. More importantly, God's righteous standards are unattainable. We cannot attain His standards. Isaiah chapter 6 verse 3 says, "And they were calling to one another, speaking of the heavenly hosts, the angels in heaven, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of your glory.'" There's not one characteristic of God that is described in the Bible three times in succession, which is very important in ancient writings, meaning that's a foregone conclusion. God's righteousness is holiness. It's unattainable. We cannot reach it. In order to reach it, you will have to be perfect and flawless, which there is no such thing. For many of us, when we hear this, the picture we see is this. God is righteous and holy, His righteousness and justice are inseparable, and His standards are unattainable. This picture, while partially true, is only half the story. A better picture is this picture. Truth enough, God is looking at us as a little kid who has this self-righteousness and trying to prove ourselves, and He's saying, "You can't make it." Thus, we find again Psalm 89 verse 14. Righteousness and justice, while they are the foundation of His throne, love and faithfulness go before Him. He extends His love and faithfulness to us, and if we receive it by faith, then we can find righteousness in Him. Ephesians comes back to us by saying, Paul making mention to us what that looks like. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 3 says, "All of us who have lived among them at one time, speaking about the people who gratify the cravings of the flesh and following evil desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving wrath and destruction. Now here's the point. Verse 4 says, but because of His great love for us, God who is rich in mercy, there it is, His great love and His mercy, His faithfulness toward us, He made us alive with Christ, even though we were dead and rightfully under wrath and are transgressors. It is by grace, it says, that we have been saved. And God has raised us up with Christ and seated us with Him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. It is by grace and not by our own abilities. We cannot be made righteous by trying hard. At best, we are unrighteous or self-righteous, and only God can raise us up and seat us with Him in heavenly realms because of Jesus. Which brings me to my second point. We are made righteous only through Jesus. Jesus gives us the right standing to stand before God. It says in verse 8 and 9, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith. This not of yourselves. We are incapable of saving ourselves or making ourselves righteous or truly righteous. This is not from ourselves. It is a gift of God, not by works, not by our abilities, that none of us, no one can actually boast. It is a good thing to know this because it gives us the confidence when we really tell people, it's not me. It's not me that has been made righteous. It's not me that is righteous. It is only God. And the more we realize that our righteousness is not because of us or because of our abilities, truly, the more secure and the more confident we become. Only because we know that deep down in our souls, if we're honest with ourselves, we cannot be fully and wholly righteous. We can only be made righteous through Jesus. Jesus gives us right standing with God. And secondly, Jesus gives us the ability to live righteously. It's one thing to know that you're standing right with God. It's a totally different thing to be able to live out that truth on a day-to-day basis. Back in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, Paul says, we are God's handiwork. We are God's masterpieces. We are God's creation, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. In Christ, we're not only able to stand in righteousness before God, He gives us the ability to live righteously. This is setting us free to be able to do the very right things that God has in store for us. But thirdly, Jesus gives us righteousness to testify. Further in chapter 3 of Ephesians, verse 8, although I am less than the least, Paul talking about himself, of all the Lord's people, by virtue of the fact that he had been guilty of bringing harm to the body of Christ, this grace was given to me to preach to the Gentiles the boundless riches of Christ. Here he's talking about Jesus empowering him through his righteousness to testify about his goodness even to someone who is so bad like him. And to make plain to everyone the administration of the mystery for which for ages past were kept hidden in God who created all things. Now think about this. Jesus entrusts to him this ability to testify despite the fact that he was formerly unrighteous, if not altogether self-righteous. Further in verse 10 it says, his intent was that now through the church, which is you and me, the manifold wisdom of God can be testified and made known to rulers and authorities in heavenly realms and beyond. Why? Because we are made righteous through Jesus. Jesus gives us right standing with God. Jesus gives us the ability to live righteously. And Jesus gives us righteousness to testify. My final point is the breastplate of righteousness itself. We need to remember that it's not about just a warrior or bulletproof vest, but the reality of spiritual warfare. And a person who's headed for battle, whether that's a physical battle or a spiritual battle, needs the full armor. It's critical. The breastplate covers the most vulnerable parts that can cause us to dysfunction in life. When you think about breastplate of righteousness in the modern day, you think about the bulletproof vest. Back in 1923, the first bulletproof vest was demonstrated and tested in front of the New York police force. Magna time when guns were invented and some gangsters and bad people had guns, the police were now vulnerable. They needed something to protect them from evil people. The picture could either be a picture of absolute lunacy for somebody shooting you with a .38 caliber gun or absolute confidence. It worked, actually, and that was the beginning of the development of the bulletproof vest. Over time, the ranges of guns also increased from 38 caliber to 44 caliber and beyond. But today, the most powerful bulletproof vest is really known as the Hyperline Level 4, the highest stopping capacity of whatever bullet, even multi-hit in the same area, and Comfort Flex. It allows to give you the comfort to wear it. This high-level bulletproof vest works this way because of the layers that are built into it. Each layer brings confidence that it can stop the bullet from going through. It's the same principle of our breastplate of righteousness. In this particular area of bulletproof vests, you have the fabric, or what is known as Kevlar, the first layer, and then you have a thin metal, and finally, a special type of ceramic that prevents these bullets from going through. No different from your breastplate of righteousness. It comes in three layers. The breastplate of righteousness gives you the freedom and the confidence to live righteously. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 12 says, "In Him, in Jesus, and through faith in Him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence." The idea that I'm just standing before God and yet wearing this breastplate that allows me the freedom and the confidence to go before God, that there is no weapon formed against me that can prosper. When I meet with God, I can pray to Him and talk to Him about my spiritual life and ask Him to defend me. I can pray to Him about my relational life. Just last night, I had a phone call at nearly 11 in the evening where I found out that one of my grandchildren was rushed to the hospital because of an accident. And in the midst of that, I can go to God with freedom and with confidence. And thankfully, a few stitches later, which by the way, happens, she was okay. Physically, our financial lives can be made right because we now have the breastplate of righteousness, the freedom and the confidence to live righteously. But the second layer of the breastplate of righteousness is the freedom and confidence to relate righteously. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 8 to 10 says, "For we were once in darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light, for the fruit of light consists in all goodness," there it is, "righteousness and truth." One of the fruits of righteousness is we are able to build relationships. And relationships are very much a part of living on this earth. When though that part of our life is unrighteous, we struggle. And we can relate to righteousness when we have right standing with other people. Ephesians chapter 5 and 6 is a chronicle and an outworking of how it is to build righteous relationships. Paul talks about righteousness, that if we follow the righteous ways of God, husband and wife relationships would work. Further in Ephesians 5 and 6, he talks about parent and children relationships, and he talks about fathers relating to children, and even more so, masters and slaves. It's encompassing that when we live in righteousness, when we live with the breastplate of righteousness, number one, the freedom and confidence to live righteously. Number two, we have the freedom and confidence to relate righteously with one another. Finally, the confidence to stand against the devil. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 13 says, "Therefore, put on the full armor of God." Not the partial armor. Put on the belt, yes, but make sure you put on the full armor, including the breastplate of righteousness, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. As I thought about this moment, I reminded myself about my first trip to Singapore. This was literally Changi Airport in 1981. It had just opened, and it was my first trip to Singapore. I was blown away. I was impressed. What was interesting was, while we were about to land, there was an announcement and a warning that if you had drugs with you, you be careful because it's punishable by death. The fruit of the matter is, it was scary for somebody who was unrighteous and had drugs with him. I didn't. There was confidence to stand in the midst of the laws, the righteousness of God, the truth of God, the justice of God. Why? Because I have righteousness as a breastplate. When we live with righteousness, we have the breastplate of righteousness, we have the freedom and the confidence to live righteously, the freedom and the confidence to relate righteously, and finally, the confidence to stand against the devil and his schemes. Let me summarize this brief message for you. God alone is righteous and holy. The more you understand that, the more you're going to understand, appreciate, and be able to live in righteousness. God and His righteousness are inseparable. You cannot separate righteousness from God. If you want to relate with Him, You need to understand righteousness. Secondly, God's righteousness precedes everything. Long before anything about God happens, God is righteous and He's just. God's righteous standards is unattainable. Thus, we are made righteous only through Jesus. Jesus gives us the right standing with God. Jesus gives us the ability to live righteously. And Jesus gives us the righteousness to testify about. The breastplate of righteousness is simply this: the freedom and the confidence to live righteously, the freedom and the confidence to relate righteously, and finally, the confidence to stand against the devil in his schemes. Join me in a short word of proclamation and prayer about Jesus, our Savior and our Lord, who gave us righteousness in Him. Lord, thank You that You alone are righteous and holy. Your righteousness is what made us righteous and confident to stand before Your very throne and able to live this life that You've destined for us, that You've created good works in order for us to fulfill on this earth. We gladly put on our breastplate of righteousness today and every day to live righteously and to reign righteously and to be able to stand against the devil's evil schemes. In Your name we pray, and everyone said, Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Every Nation Singapore podcast. We hope you've been blessed by today's message. For more information, visit everynation.org.sg.